Vedan ke Sankirtan Yajna ke Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ke Ekadasi Vrata ke Pandavinya Jala Ekadasi ke Gopremanande. All glories to the Samo devotees. All glories to the Samo devotees. All glories to the Samo devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Is there much echo? Little. Less than usual. It's a lot better than usual, or sort of little bit. Chirt, chirt. Better. Okay. Anyway. All right. Just a sec. Oh, it's near Jala Ekadasi. But I'm going to drink some water. Don't mind me too much. I'm an atheist. Thing is, I'm meant to drink so much every day. And it's actually fairly important. So, such is life. Well, I don't know. He was playing with it. Yeah. Can you hear me? Come closer. It's okay. We got beautiful tiles here. They're the most comfortable in the whole place. So, okay, devotees. We have been you're not going to turn the sound up on the system. No, please don't. So we have been requested by His Grace, Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, to say some words about Ekadasi. Because today is a, shall we say, I don't know what to say, famous, well-known Ekadasi, something like that. Can you hear me better now? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Yeah, if the temple room was bigger, you know, some devotees would go further away. It's all relative. So we've been asked to say some words about Ekadasi. Therefore, what we'll do, we will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Verse 29. So we'll read that verse in purport. It is about Maharaj Ambarish and his observance of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year, just before the arrival of Devasa Muni on the scene. And if you're familiar with the story, I'm sure many of you are, then you would know that it becomes very dramatic, actually. Very dramatic indeed. When they come to the end of the fast. But this is now describing the fast a little bit. And then we will read some verses quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, the glories of Ekadasi, the importance of Ekadasi, the dangers of not observing, and these types of things. Before we go on to that, we'll say a few words about Ekadasi in a broader sense and Srila Prabhupada's observance of Ekadasi. And then we'll go into the Bhakti Sandarbha, and then we'll see where that takes us. All right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. And Mahaprabhu Kripa, if you're there, does it seem better at all to you? Anyway, he'll respond shortly. Is it at all better, or is it sort of, you know, much the same, not too noticeable? I'd be interested to know. Translation. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Okay, he says it seems better. Anyway, let's see how it goes. And here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. That's interesting though, isn't it? 1 year they observed. Sure. Okay, and actually the purport is kind of, it takes a different direction pretty quickly, and it's kind of relevant to the discussion about Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Oh yes, anyway, you'll see. But let's read it. To observe Ekadasi Vrata and Dwadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadasi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanakya Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or sannyasi. Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha priyavadani aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tata griham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. Because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only, one's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. Any candidates? Anyway, it's okay. All right, so we'll read the verse again. Ariradaishu Krishnam Mahishya Tulya Shilaya Yukta Samvatsaram Viro Yata Dadhara Dwadashi Vratam. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his wife, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Okay. Well, I think, well, at least generally devotees are familiar with this very famous and very important story. How Maharaj Ambarish Well, the whole incident that occurred between Maharaj Ambarish and Devasa Muni, which is one of the great, it's very instructive pastime in so many ways. Yes. So, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, I won't go through that story in other words. Can you hear me okay? You sure? Okay. Yeah. I won't go through that story of Maharaj Ambarish and Devasa Muni. Some other time we can. It's just such an outstanding story in many ways. It really is amazing. But we can mention that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya instructs his mother that please, you must observe Ekadasi. It's kind of in effect, you can read through it. It's in effect, it's almost like, if you can't do anything else, at least observe Ekadasi. It's something like that. Lord Chaitanya instructed his mother, and he said, if not a lot, but a few words he said about that. The importance, the essential nature of Ekadasi. Srila Prabhupada, of course, always observed Ekadasi and stressed the importance of Ekadasi. That's a fact. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, although we hear from, it seems from people who know, that he did say that if you're going to preach and you're observing like Ekadasi, well, you're observing Ekadasi, but for whatever reason you're running out of energy and running out of strength, but you've got some very important preaching to do which you need some strength for, then we hear at least that he said that you could maybe at least you can eat something, but maybe not even observe the Ekadasi. Words like that, which is pretty extraordinary. But it was by no means just a normal instruction like, well, if you're feeling a bit hungry, just go ahead. It's more like something more like a bit of a desperate situation. Yeah, so, but Srila Prabhupada observed Ekadasi. He observed Ekadasi. And there were times when somehow or other, there's at least one time that I've heard about quite a bit, when Srila Prabhupada, it was Ekadasi, Prabhupada knew, everyone knew, but some grains sneaked in somewhere, somehow. I don't think you can hear me, can you? Yes means you can't hear me, or you can't? Oh, you can, all right. I'll leave it up to you. So there's a famous incident in Los Angeles Temple where Srila Prabhupada was offered Charanamrita after the deity greeting or at some point around that time. And so as he took the Charanamrita, he actually took some Charanamrita, he noticed there were some whole grains in the Charanamrita. And Prabhupada asked, who has made this Charanamrita? And one young lady, a temple resident devotee, came forward and sort of giggled, something like that. that it was me, Prabhupada, ha ha. Somehow or other, you know, sometimes people are not so stable internally. It was me, Prabhupada, ha ha. And Srila Prabhupada, from what I was told, really chastised her. Like scorched earth chastisement, a very strong chastisement. This is what we hear. You heard that? Yeah, I heard that. Do you know the names? No, I don't know the names, but I heard this on a number of occasions from reliable sources who were there. So that's an example in terms of, I mean, for us, that's such an important, like, all-important instruction for us from our founder Acharya, that you really got to follow Ekadasi. Today is Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, and we all know there's a tradition in ISKCON that, well, not just a tradition, but in Shastra, there is an incident in which Bhima, one of the Pandavas, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, that Bhima, one of the Pandavas, he would battle to follow Ekadasi. It was a real struggle because he had a very big body, and you know, he was known as Vrikadar, was one of his other names. Vrikadar means basically voracious eater. It was his nature, physically like that. So he was of course, what to speak of being a very sincere devotee. He was an important personal associate of the Lord, and he was on the highest level of Krishna consciousness that can be practically. But still, this was the situation. So one time, apparently, he asked Lord Krishna what to do, and Lord Krishna told him, "All right, you don't observe the other Ekadasis in the year, but on this one Ekadasi, you observe it completely. Don't eat, you don't drink, nothing. And that's what you do. And that'll make up for the other Ekadasis which you have not followed." So, I can certainly say that when we joined ISKCON back in those days, Ekadasi was there. We observed Ekadasi. And there was a sort of an unwritten rule that if somehow or other Ekadasi gets broken, of course it would practically never be done deliberately, but if just somehow it happens that Ekadasi gets broken, then what you do, at least we were told according to Srila Prabhupada, what you do is on the next day on the Dwadasi, you observe the Ekadasi. I remember one day in Bhaktivedanta Manor, the cook put some peas into the sabji on Ekadasi. And halfway, and this is all of us, you know, like at least 100 devotees or more. And suddenly in the middle of lunch, someone says, "Hey, wait a minute." And we realized we'd broken Ekadasi. And so we observed the next day. And you know what happened? The same thing. Really? The same thing. In the middle of lunch, someone said, "Hey." And everyone, like probably 150 devotees, or maybe even more, but at least between 100 and 150, had broken a codicil again. And so we observed it the next day. And devotees, I'm not joking, somehow it happened again the next day. And we were just, it was just, you know, such an unbelievable situation. So I must admit, we gave up until the next Ekadasi. But then we noticed, this is like 77, 78, probably 78. Anyway, it was around there that this particular, those incidents happened. But then I remember 1979, on this day, we came into the prasadam room for breakfast or lunch, and there was a number of devotees, like 20, maybe 30, and they were there during prasadam time, but they were not eating anything, and they were not drinking. And they told us, yes, 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 special Ekadasi. If they said, if you've ever broken Ekadasi during the year, then if you fast completely, including from water, then you've made up for it. So anyway, I just, and the great majority of us just carried on and took Ekadasi prasadam that day. But I remember the next year, 1980, I had already come to South Africa to Cato Ridge. And on this day, there was no announcement. I was the temple president. I didn't even know. But, which is not unusual. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. I walked into the prasadam room. And there was the national secretary, Tulsi Das, and all the devotees, temple devotees, or a fair number, probably between 20 and 30, probably 30. And they were having a feast. And they were watching the sun. The sun was coming down. And Tulsi Das told me that, you know, this is it. This is a big thing. You know, you've got to observe this. Tomorrow's Ekadasi. Ekadasi was the next day. It was the Dasami. So, you know, we got to fast completely. But we got, the latest we can take prasadam is when the sun actually sets. And you can no longer see it. It was, you know, inches away from the horizon. So on Tulsi Das Prabhu's insistence, I ate as much as I could in about 5 minutes, which wasn't that much, but sure, not really the right way to do things. And then we fasted. That was 1980. Since then, up to and including last year, so we're talking about 40 years, except for 2 days, I've observed it, the whole thing, done it, yeah. And, you know, I must say, it's generally not a lot of fun, and at some point, particularly in the afternoon, the idea comes up, hey, let's drink something, I feel thirsty. And then you remember, oh, wait a minute, no, can't do it. So, okay, we tolerate. One time, I was in a place called Murmansk, which is northwestern Russia, within the Arctic Circle, the northernmost temple in ISKCON. And it was Pandavaneerjala Ekadasi. There was no announcement. I just assumed, okay, Pandavaneerjala Ekadasi, we're fasting, all right. And then after the morning program, went into the room, sat down, and then suddenly in comes the temple president with a few plates of all these Ekadasi preparations, which his wife, who's a sort of not a disciple of mine, but you know, someone who I have had a long-standing transcendental relationship with, she had gone out of her way to do all these things. So, oh well, okay. So I didn't observe the full thing. And there was another occasion in Pretoria. In the evening I ate something. I think that those are the only times. But devotees, let me just tell you, I'm not going to follow it like that today. Well, I already drank some water, so hurry, Bol. If you want to, I leave it up to you. It's your life. And we pray to Krishna to help you. But I must say, and I think it's a very significant point, Srila Prabhupada, at least in the folio Veda-based collection of so many classes and so on and so forth, I've only found, and I actually looked, one year I really did some research to see, now wait a minute, what are we doing here? And I could only find one reference from Srila Prabhupada, just one I found. And I really looked, and I have a version of folio. It's like a super folio. It's much more extensive than the normal one. But I only found one reference. And in that one reference, Prabhupada doesn't even talk about doing anything special. He just says that there is this day and basically like that. So then what I did, I was in Russia. I was in a place called Barnaul. And I wrote to His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And I asked him, what's your experience with Prabhupada? It was a few years ago, and he wrote back, and basically it was like that, that Prabhupada never observed it. And if I remember correctly, Maharaj did not hear Prabhupada refer to it, as I recall. I mean, obviously we can check. But that's what I recall, that, you know, from Giriraj Maharaj, who was, you know, very conversant, very close to Prabhupada and spent a lot of time with him and heard so much, and very conversant with Prabhupada and his instructions, was not aware of Prabhupada addressing this. So hurry bowl. To fast sometimes is nice. Yes. And even there's at least one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says that it is nice to fast on Ekadasi, like fast, not just grains. He says it's good for the health and it will save money. Prabhupada says that, yeah. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, if the government makes it like that, that everyone must fast, then it's like the whole economy will be benefited. Okay. Having said that, so anyway, Prabhupada is our acharya, founder acharya, and what he says goes. And what he does or did goes. But for interest's sake, I thought I would read from Srila Jiva Goswami, Bhakti Sandarbha. Bhakti Sandarbha is one of the six Sandarbhas, which Sandarbha means basically essay, or like treatise, what would you say, an exposition on a particular subject. A focused piece of writing. So Bhakti Sandarbha, there are six Sandarbhas. The Bhakti Sandarbha is all about bhakti. It's all about devotional service. And it's big, it's long, it is, there's so much information about so many aspects of devotional service. And there is a there are different mentions of Ekadasi here and there, but then there is a section which is specifically on Ekadasi. It is part of a section which is, it's for those, if any of you have access and are a little familiar with the Sandarbhas, it's in what is called Anuchaid 299. Anuchaid 299. And Anuchaid is sort of like a chapter. Actually, I'm not sure what the literal translation is, but it's sort of like a chapter. Maybe smaller than a regular chapter, I'd say. So there it discusses like different vows, including the Ekadasi Vrata. It includes vows for to be performed during Kartik also. Yeah. Just to warm you up for what's coming about Ekadasi, let me read just a tiny little bit which Jiva Goswami quotes from Skanda Purana about observing Kartik. So somebody, doesn't say who, but someone is speaking to Narada, maybe it's Lord Brahma. O child, all holy places reside in the month of Kartik, which is eternally dear to Lord Krishna. Whatever pious deeds one performs to please Lord Vishnu during the month of Kartik, bring a benefit that is eternal. O Narada, I speak to you the truth. A person who refuses to follow the vow of this month, which is very dear to Lord Damodar, loses his pious deeds and takes birth as an animal. Kartik Vrata Damodar Vrata Ki. So anyway, you can think about that one next Kartik. Then immediately after that, now Ekadasi will be described. Even they who are not Vaishnavas should regularly observe Ekadasi. This is described in the following words of the Vishnu Dharma Purana. This is what Jiva Goswami does. He basically, the great majority, not entirely, but the great majority, he's just quoting and quoting and quoting and quoting. So this is from Vishnu Dharma Purana. Whether a Vaishnav or a worshipper of Surya, one should regularly observe Ekadasi. In the Saura Purana it is said, whether a Vaishnav, a worshipper of Lord Shiva, or a worshipper of Surya, one should regularly observe Ekadasi. In the Narada Pancharatra, in the discussion of duties to be performed after initiation, after the passage beginning with the words, Samayams cha pravakshyami, it is said, so this is now Narada Pancharatra, which we follow to some degree, in deity worship at least. So, okay. During Ekadasis of both pakshas, one should not eat. Pakshas means there are two pakshas in a month. There are two-week periods, in one of which the moon is going down to no moon, and the second paksha, it's coming up to full moon. I'm not sure which paksha we're in right now, actually, but it's... Anyway, it's one of them. So it says, During Ekadasis of both Pakshas, one should not eat. At that time, one should keep an all-night vigil, and one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vishnu Yamala, which is another literature which is referred to here and there, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's referred to in a number of places. In the discussion of the Dig Vidha Ekadasi, it is said, one should not act impiously on either the Shukla or the Krishna Ekadasis. Shukla means when it's becoming brighter, and Krishna means when it's becoming darker. Krishna there is just referring to darkness. So one shouldn't act impiously on either of the Ekadasis in a month without distinction. In the same way, on Ekadasi, one should not, if one is able, eat fruits or other foods. One should not perform a Shraddha ceremony on Ekadasi. That's also, Prabhupada quotes that in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shraddha ceremony should not be performed on Ekadasi. On Dwadasi, one should not sleep during the day, and, wait for it, one should not pick tulsi leaves. It's Vishnu Yamala, which is a Vedic literature, an authoritative literature. So it's not just because Sanatan Goswami said, if you've heard us talk about it. It's actually in Vishnu Yamala. During Dwadasi, one should not bathe Lord Vishnu during the daytime. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, in the description of Vaishnava Dharma, it is said, one should observe the vow of Dwadasi. In the Skanda Purana, Chandra Sharma recounts the following vow of devotional service. So this is Skanda Purana. It's one of the 18 main Puranas. So now this devotee is addressing Krishna. O Lord Krishna, please hear my vow. For this day on, I will never eat during Ekadasi. On every Ekadasi, I will observe an all-night vigil. With great devotion, I will worship you every day. I will not observe the Vidha Ekadasis. To please you, I will observe the 8 Mahadwadasis. This is my vow. In the Agni Purana, another one of the main Puranas, it is said, on Ekadasi, one should not eat. That is the great vow of the Vaishnavas. In the Gautamiya Tantra, it is said, it's another important Vedic literature, if a Vaishnav foolishly eats during Ekadasi, he worships Lord Vishnu in vain. He will go, fasten your seatbelts, he will go to a terrible hell. Haribol. Okay. All right. Thank you. Gautamiya Tantra. In the Matsya and Bhavishya Puranas, it is said, one should fast on the Shukla and Krishna Ekadasis and break the fast on Dwadasi. That is the great vow of the Vaishnavas. In the Skanda Purana, it is said, refasten your seatbelts. The weather is getting turbulent again. He who eats during Ekadasi murders his mother, father, brother, and spiritual master. He falls from the path that leads to Vishnu Loka. And now this is now just Jiva Goswami speaking. The Vaishnavas always fast on Ekadasi. On Ekadasi, they will not even eat Mahaprasadam, what to speak of other foods, which they are forbidden to eat at any time. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said, O Narada, one must always accept the remnants of food offered to the Lord. However, on Ekadasi, one must not accept them. Even Goddess Lakshmi and her peers observe Ekadasi. What then can be said of other persons? Okay, well, that's it. Then there's a section about observing an all-night vigil on Ekadasi, which those of you who were around, you know, whenever it was, some years ago, you would remember we used to do it. Yeah. We used to, practically everyone used to stay up all night and then collapse the next morning. Really. It's a fact. Elsewhere, Jiva Goswami says that to properly, like a Shuddha Ekadasi, pure Ekadasi, means you stay up for the night before and the night after. Yeah, two nights you stay up. And only, yeah, the day after. And you fast the Dashami, the Ekadasi, and you only break the fast on the Dwadasi, something like that. So anyway, there you go, devotees. But let us just add a couple of things. That there is a Puranic explanation, which I cannot remember the source of, but it's from one of the Puranas. It's available. We would just have to look it up. In which it says, it addresses the question, what is this thing? What is this thing called Ekadasi, which is so incredibly important that if you break it, it's just like you could hardly imagine a greater disaster. And there's an explanation there that one time the person called the Papa Purusha, the personality of sin, approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, shortly after the main part of the creation had been completed. Yeah. And the Papa Purusha told Lord Vishnu that as your devotee, my service to you is to engage sinfully inclined people in sinful activities. This is my service. But I have one problem. I am not able to engage enough people. I feel I should engage more people, but I'm not engaging enough people in sinful activities. You know, we want an increase of sinful activity. So please make some arrangement so that people will perform more sinful activity. And Lord Vishnu responds, all right, then we will make a special arrangement that anyone who eats grains, it's actually stated there, grains on Ekadasi, they commit all sinful activities. In that one act of eating grains on Ekadasi, they perform all sinful activities you can think of, including murdering everyone and etc., all these too drastic things. And the Papa Purusha was happy. Now I can engage people in sinful activity, you know, nicely, really get into it. So in that context then, it's not only for Vaishnavas, it's for just any human being. They really should observe Ekadasi, which we read from a couple of Puranic sources. Everyone should really observe Ekadasi, no matter whether they're devotees or not, and what to speak of if they are devotees. Yes. So that's very important for us. And like we said, Srila Prabhupada observed Ekadasi, but on Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, he ate. Every time, to my knowledge, he never made a point of not eating. To my knowledge, Prabhupada often, on Ekadasi, would not eat breakfast, I have been told. But otherwise, he did eat, yes. So Ekadasi then, it's a very important day. And there's this whole story we recited a little just now about observing this Ekadasi in that, by totally fasting, not drinking anything. If you have broken Ekadasi in the year prior to this Ekadasi, if you haven't, which I hope you haven't, I don't think I have, I'm sure I haven't actually, but if you haven't, then, it's Ekadasi. Today is Ekadasi. Hari Bol. But if you have, I leave it with you. You decide. Prabhupada, on certain occasions, with kind of finickety-type decisions, Prabhupada told devotees, all right, you decide. In other words, just do whatever you want to do. So, but if you want to fast, the idea is not simply to fast, but the idea is to increase our Krishna conscious activity. That's the idea. When I was a new devotee, then we were told, on Ekadasi, you must chant 25 rounds. Later we found out that Srila Prabhupada had been asked that and said, no, you must chant 16 rounds, but you should chant more. You should chant more on Ekadasi. So we would always go out of our way to at least chant more, generally 25 rounds actually. So we were told that Ekadasi is known amongst the Vaishnavas as the day of Lord Hari, the day of Krishna, Krishna's special day. You avoid these undesirable things, not just undesirable, but these very dangerous things. You avoid, but then you increase, particularly your chanting, hearing and chanting and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because along with there being a negative aspect, there's also a positive aspect that if we increase our devotional service, particularly hearing and chanting, on this day, Krishna gives more mercy. Yes, this is, we have been told. Krishna gives more mercy. So I leave it with you, but today is Ekadasi, Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, and you must continue with all your services. Sometimes there's a practice, devotees just stop doing their services and just chant. It's not really so good. Should continue with your services, and as much as possible, at least as much as possible, increase your hearing and chanting. Ekadasi Vrata Ke Shipandava Nirjala Ekadasi Ke. Any comment or question, Maharaj? Srip Damodar Prabhu? Yes.
Specific what's supposed to be done, which is
what should be our mood? You didn't see them coming.
So unless we actually stay awake tonight, then
you can do it. I mean, we all used to do it. The temple room was full of devotees. It was quite something. But so the question is, am I right? That what should be our mood? Is that it, or what? No. What is your idea there?
The question was more that here and there there's quite a bit of talk about the benefit of a fathership.
I see.
Our fathership always is minimal, actually, just keeping away from grains and legumes.
Right.
So are we actually getting more benefit from a fathership fast?
Okay. I see. All right. So the question is, in our, there are different verses we read, some talking about different, you know, observing Ekadasi in different ways, and there are other verses talking about benefits from observing Ekadasi. In our observance, our normal observance means we don't take grains or legumes. You know, as the devotees know, there's certain rice, wheat, corn, and various dals and so on we don't take. So for us, are we getting any benefit? Or are we just avoiding the sinful reactions which would be there if we didn't observe Ekadasi? Well, we are definitely avoiding the sinful reactions, but if we talk about mood, well, if we talk about results, one result is we are avoiding the sinful reactions, which otherwise, from what we've just read now, from a number of Puranas, are severe. So we're avoiding them, which is good. Otherwise, we will definitely get benefit. It may not be immediately perceivable what benefits we're getting. But one way or another, benefits will come. The main benefit we're getting, though, if we avoid grains, but then if we chant, if we really try to hear and chant more and focus more like that, then we'll definitely get a deeper internal benefit of deepening of our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, benedictions, like even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are places at the end of certain pastimes where the benefits of studying that pastime are listed out. I remember particularly Maharaj Prithu, the story of Prithu Maharaj, fourth canto. My gosh, if you hear that, you are going to become queen of not just South Africa or Estonia, but the whole planet. Something like that. Oh yeah, I mean, that's just quite mind-boggling. The benefits you'll get of a material nature. And of a spiritual nature also, Krishna conscious nature. You know, the understanding I've picked up is that when we do activities in Krishna consciousness for which there may be material benefits also, then in many cases then Krishna is very selective about what he allows us to receive. You know, from the list, whatever the list is. You know, I've read the Maharaj Prithu's pastime on a number of occasions. I haven't become not king of the world yet. I'm sort of king of my little room, couple of rooms down there, but even that, not really. They may move me at any time. So the understanding I've picked up, I would say, is that Krishna, to help the devotees, doesn't bother the devotees in many cases by giving material benedictions which are stated, authoritatively stated, to be parts of the results of doing certain things we do. Yeah. Certain things we actually do. Yeah. But we get spiritual benefit. Because, you know, Krishna is always monitoring us. He's monitoring you and me and all of us right now. He's monitoring us with a view to our spiritual advancement or our development as devotees. That's what he's doing. And with a view to avoiding our lapsing back into the wrong sorts of things and so on. He's monitoring us and he's making arrangements for us to receive certain benefits in certain ways, and to avoid receiving certain detrimental things, and to avoid us receiving certain benefits also, which will not be helpful in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore I would say that if you have noticed objectively that some, you know, particular benefit which was stated you were going to receive, and it seemed like, you know, now, from having done something that you didn't, I would say that don't take it that it's not true. Definitely don't take it as not true. But just take it that Krishna is saving you from something he feels, you know, you're better off without. Because Krishna is very personal. He's extremely personal. Yeah. And then as far as the mood, though, our mood should be, you know, point one, we avoid the things we must avoid, and we don't want to forget. It's not difficult to forget it's Ekadasi. I've done it many times. And, you know, fortunately, generally not broken. But, you know, I think we've all broken Ekadasi at least once in our life. So that we should be mindful enough to maintain the negative side. But on the positive side, because it's the day of the Lord, a special day of the Lord, we should try to do more positive Krishna conscious activity, particularly hearing and chanting about Krishna. And that should be our mood, main mood. And of course, be observant and don't forget and make a mistake. But otherwise, let's make a special effort to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Okay. Well, So the question is that there are Vaishnav benedictions like Krishna Kripa Katakshaka, yeah? And some others, I'm sure there are. I mean, there's all sorts of benedictions in our different of our literatures. well, you know, in regard to seeing Krishna, it might sound a little sort of almost facetious to say, but there he is. And like we were reading the other day, it's actually true. It's more true than we have understood yet. It's more true. You know, we take it, yes, yes, very nice. Or anyway, we take it however we take it. But it, I think, generally is more true than we generally understand. And otherwise, some other things, then I would say it's coming. It's coming. And Krishna, again, you know, same point, Krishna's careful. He's very observant with us, and he's very, you know, sort of systematic with us. And he doesn't want us to get to make some sort of false start, if you understand what I mean. Get carried away in a certain situation, you know, get some special mercy, but then develop the wrong sort of attachment to it, in the sense of thinking that I'll get that special mercy all the time. You know, like Lord Narayan appeared to Narada Muni in the first canto. But Narada was just a child. He'd gone on pilgrimage after his mother died. And then one day he was sitting under a tree and the Supreme Lord appeared in front of him and told him, "This is the only time you'll see me in this lifetime. But it's I'm doing it as an impetus for your ongoing development. And then later you'll really be seeing me." So, you know, Krishna is very careful. He doesn't want us to start thinking that we are more advanced than what we are. Yeah. We mentioned this a little the other 2 days ago. You know, it's one of the great traps to think you're more advanced than what you are. And like you're perceiving things on a higher level than how you're actually perceiving them. Like that. So therefore Krishna, you know, just because we read it doesn't mean it's just going to happen like that. Even though it's promised by, you know, whoever it is, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Rupa Goswami, etc. Krishna is still governing and controlling carefully what mercy we really get. Yeah. But at the same time, those things are there and they will come. But, you know, more like at the right time. Therefore, patience is one of the great, such important qualities of a devotee. Is that okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Time has marched on, I think. Yes. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ekadasi Vrata ki.